Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish. I'm talking to you from 345 Hudson, New York City, the CBS Sports Radio studios. Brad Carson back in Memphis producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruption.
Well, Daddy lost most everything.
And rest in peace to the Alliance of American Football. What we thought might happen this week has happened. They have suspended all football operations and, barring some sort of surprise, will never play football again in that league. 8 weeks in, with two regular season games remaining, the Alliance of American Football is done. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, quickly, though, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Keith Easterwood is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. He is the nation's leading authority. Hobos, Heroes, Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausage Heads. He's going to join me in about 20 minutes. Talk hoops or whatever with Easterwood right around 420. Finish that segment. I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Arkansas is reportedly close to filling its vacant men's basketball coaching position, perhaps with Eric Musselman. There are some reports that he's on campus in Fayetteville. I'm told that that is not true. But either way, he is a candidate for the job. We'll get into that right around 4:44. Meantime, Kelvin Sampson is negotiating a deal to remain the head coach at Houston. That's good for the American Athletic Conference, but I don't think it means what so many people are saying that it means. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Good news on the recruiting front from the University of Memphis from 24/7 Sports' Jerry Meyer. I'll share that with you just before 5 o'clock. And Bryce Harper makes his return to Washington, D.C. tonight as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. Posted a note on Instagram directed at Nationals fans, in which he touched on a lot of the things people in his position typically touch on when they are either leaving a city or returning to a city. He said at the end he expects to hear some boos when he takes the field tonight. I'll tell you why he shouldn't hear some boos when he takes the field tonight in Washington. We'll get into that during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. Got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the Alliance of American Football, because now there are multiple reports and confirmation from the league that it is done. I'll read you straight from ESPN.com. After 8 weeks of games and less than one season into the Alliance of American Football's existence, league owner Tom Dundon has decided to suspend all operations. League co-founder Bill Polian confirmed to ESPN's Chris Mortensen on Tuesday. Quote, "I am extremely disappointed to learn Tom Dundon has decided to suspend all football operations of the Alliance of American Football. When Mr. Dundon took over, it was the belief of my co-founder, Charlie Ebersaw, and myself that we would finish the season, pay our creditors, and make the necessary adjustments to move forward in a manner that made economic sense for all. The momentum generated by our players, coaches, and football staff had us well positioned for future success. Regrettably, we will not have that opportunity." The story continues. The league had been struggling from the outset. After the first week of the season, Dundon, owner of the NHL's Carolina Hurricanes, pledged a $250 million investment and essentially took command of the AAF. The league shot down reports that it needed money to stay afloat. Instead, sources told ESPN at the time that there was an issue with the payroll company the league was using. Despite these issues, the story continues, ratings had remained fairly consistent for the league, with between 400,000 and 500,000 viewers often tuning in for games, according to ratings reports. And the league got a bump in attention after Johnny Manziel signed last month and was allocated to the Memphis Express, which, by the way, is just a reminder of how nonsensical it was for the Express to not commit to Johnny Manziel being the starting quarterback right from the jump, because so far, I've read that deep into that story, and exactly one AAF player has been mentioned. Johnny Manziel, yeah, the guy that Mike Singletary said was going to be the backup quarterback in Memphis. Now, I'm not going to pretend that If Johnny Manziel would have been the starter, the outcome of this league would have been any different. But when you are lucky enough to have Johnny Manziel in your league, you have to play him. I don't care if he's the best option. I don't care how much Brandon Silvers might have earned. What you play Johnny Manziel. Just a dumb, dumb decision that we've been over at this point multiple times. So I'll move on. The league ended up being about what I thought it would be. Something that worked on TV, but did not work from a people in the stadium perspective. Nobody went to the games at most places, and certainly not in Memphis at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium. But you had to know that going in. Like, if I knew that going in, why didn't they know that going in? I mean, it makes no sense. I didn't know anything about the league. No. I just said, yeah, it'd probably work on TV. You're not going to get people to go to the games, though. How did I know that? They didn't know that.
They didn't ask.
Tom Dundon in recent weeks came out and said, unless we have an agreement with the NFL Players Association, we are not going to be able to sustain this league, which makes you go, isn't that something you should have figured out before you launched the league? I mean, none of this is new material. Mm-hmm. But given that the league, for all intents and purposes, died today, it is worth pointing out once again how incredibly misguided the people in charge of this thing have been right from the jump. And I said this yesterday when I was talking to Jeff. You know, I was always skeptical that this would work, but the first time I heard Charlie Ebersole talk, and it was on Jeff's show, he like had answers for every question. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, sure. Okay, well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
He sounded credible. And he just wasn't.
No.
He was just lying.
Yes.
Because one of the things he said to Jeff before this season even started was, we have a television deal in place and enough money already secured that the reason this thing is going to succeed is because we don't have to do, it's not one of these deals where if we don't get off to a great start, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be here for a while.
No.
Like, that's already decided. I don't know if we'll be here in 30 years, but we're going to be here in 3. Just turns out it wasn't true. No. Like, I don't know if he was lying or if he, like, was just misguided. But one of the two, because he could not have been more wrong. They reportedly could not make payroll or were at risk of not making payroll after 1 week of the season. And as I talked about at the time, that's incredible to me to put that much thought, or perhaps so little thought, into a league and then be in a real cash flow problem, to have huge cash flow problems a week into it. The analogy I used was when people buy houses. Every day in this country, somebody loses a home. You know, they either got in over their head or, you know, their circumstances changed, so they bought a house when they had this job. They're making X amount of dollars. Then they get laid off, or a spouse gets laid off, or medical bills pile up. Just how, real life stuff that happens to people every day, often no fault of their own. And so then they might lose their home. It's like you bought this home thinking, I can afford this home. And then you spend months, if not years, maybe decades, affording a home. But then your circumstances change and you can't afford that home anymore. And now you're in a bad spot and now they've just taken your home. This happens to people all the time. Well, at least that's understandable. Like, why did you buy this $500,000 home? Well, because at the time I was making $300,000 and then I lost that job, you know, started working for Uber, couldn't afford the home anymore, and now I'm losing my home. Ugh, that's terrible, man. But at least that's sensible. Like, that's a real story that happened. But you don't move into a home and can't afford to pay the mortgage the first month. Like, who buys a home?
No.
Like, hey, I'm going to buy this $500,000 home. The mortgage on it's going to be whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then the bill comes in first month. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
No,
what?
No.
Then why did you move into the house? If you can't make your 18th payment because your circumstances changed, or your 45th payment because your circumstances changed, again, That happens to people. Life's hard. But your first payment, you got to be able to make your first payment. Like your first car note, you got to be able to make your first car note. Maybe you can't make your 51st car note because something happened. But your first one, you got to make your first one or else you shouldn't have had the car. You got to make your first one or else you shouldn't have had the house. The Alliance of American Football couldn't make their first payment. I mean, just incredible. So then here comes Tom Dundon, going to invest $250 million. And then they say, okay, we've got enough money now to get us through. We're going to be fine. Except he never actually, like, handed over the money. He was committed, I got his word, not mine, and clearly not that committed, given where we are now. But he said he was committed to investing $250 million in this league, at which point he became in control of the league. And then just a few weeks later, he's the guy that pulls the plug on this. And he does so after releasing a statement last week where he said, we've got to get cooperation from the NFL Players Association or we're not going to be able to sustain as a league. And I'm just like banging my head into a wall. Like, what are you, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to use words like dumb and stupid and idiotic because it would sound a little silly coming from me talking about a billionaire, right?
Right.
I mean, the guy's a billionaire.
Sure.
All right, so like he can't be that dumb. But I know this, before I agreed to invest $250 million in a football league, I would find out what we needed to be sustainable or not.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have those things, I'd say, I'm not going to invest $250 million in this football league. Like, why would you... And he's not losing $250 million, but the estimations are he actually is going to lose about $70 million. So it's not insignificant money. He's basically spent, at least according to the reports, about $70 million to get to this point. So why wouldn't you ask more questions? I'll never understand how you can't go, okay, listen, guys, I've looked at everything here, and I'm interested in your league, and I might invest, but I don't see how we're going to be sustainable without a deal from the NFL Players Association. So let's see if we can get a deal from the NFL Players Association. And if we can't, then I'm not throwing $70 million at this thing.
Right.
The idea that you throw $70 million at something and then say, you know what we need or else is a deal with the NFL Players Association. And the idea that you would even say that out loud anyway is crazy to me because why would the NFL Players Association make a deal with you? In what way does the NFL Players Association or the NFL in general benefit from giving you access to their young players? Like, I can't think of one. No,
playing more football.
You know what about the worst thing a football player can do?
Play football.
Yes. It's not great.
No.
Le'Veon Bell, this season is a great example of it. It's not that he didn't want to play for the Steelers. It's that, and I think he was misguided, but either way, this was his line of thinking.
Right.
I don't want to bang my body up, put miles on my body for this amount of money for this franchise that hasn't treated me fairly. So I'll just sit it out, forfeit however many millions of dollars he forfeited, but I'll be fresh for a new team that's going to give me a long-term contract.
Right.
In other words, I'm going to preserve myself by not playing football. And now the NFL Players Association is supposed to go, yeah, but we'll send you our young players that we want to just get, you know, let them get concussed and let them put miles on their body. What? It doesn't make any sense. So you want the NFL to do something that is not in the best interest of the NFL. And I don't know if you know much about the NFL, but the NFL's not going to do anything that's not in its best interest. So the idea that you wouldn't figure all this out in advance is just bananas to me. And then to publicly threaten to close the league if the NFL Players Association doesn't help you, again, when it has no reason to do it or benefit, was just weird. And now here we are with another spring football league. Down the drain, this one in less than a year. Like, they could not even complete the regular season because it was mismanaged at the highest level by multiple people. And so I guess the writing, as they say, has been on the wall for a little while, like since they couldn't or at least were at risk of not making payroll after week one, but still, if you would have told me at the jump or asked me at the jump, well, they finished at least the first year, I'd say, yeah, they'll finish at least the first year. How could they not finish the first year? And the answer is just, you got people running this football league who, quite clearly, with the benefit of hindsight, were not equipped to run this football league. Perhaps this type of league fails no matter who's in charge, but the people in charge of this thing, they didn't do anybody any favors or themselves any favors, because it was one bad decision after another after another. Talk to Jeff Calkins about this at 5 o'clock. When we come back, he's my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert. It's Keith Easterwood here on the Gary Perry.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Show.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made.
422, Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN. Arkansas reportedly close to hiring a basketball coach to run its basketball program. Kelvin Sampson nearing a deal to remain at Houston. We'll get into all that, plus Bryce Harper's return to Washington, D.C. tonight. Going to do that in the next segment. Four notable stories, 444. Jeff Coggins to be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is my local basketball expert. He's your local basketball expert, nation's leading authority, Hobo's Heroes, Street Corner Clowns. He knows Sam Sausage Head personally. The legend, Keith Easterwood, making the big interview.
Keith Easterwood is presented by Old Dominic Distillery. It's the one and only Keith Easterwood.
He ran.
Yep.
Die, Brad, die.
Local basketball expert, talking Hobos, Heroes, and Street Corner Clowns on 92.9's Gary Parrish Show.
Easterwood, what's up with it?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Did she say that?
Yeah, she said that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Okay.
She said that.
Hey, so tonight I retake. I'm starting back to do my podcast. Just 2 weeks off the podcast. I wasn't really feeling good, so doing good and whatever. But anyway, so Sonny will join me tonight. We'll talk about the Nike stuff. And so I try to be a little consistent with that. And he and I have talked privately, and he's talked to lawyers and all that. So that's an interesting deal. And he's funny about his attorney. And, you know, you get that going on. You got Final Four going on. You got coaches moving. You got baseball started, which is kind of hard for me to get involved with. And the AAF has died, which I predicted. And so there's a lot of good stuff going on right now.
Talking to Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. What do you got lined up for the podcast? The Keith Easterwood Podcast, KeithEasterwood.com.
Me and Sonny just talking, you know, the world of what's going on right now with, you know, this court case coming up in April. And then I called him out of the blue. Me and Sonny talked this off the cuff. But he's fascinated by Nike being involved in the conversation now. So we'll talk about that tonight. And ESPN put a deal up today about LeBron's shoe contract negotiation, which kind of segued into Zion's shoe contract coming up. So we'll talk about all that. And Sonny, look, all you got to do is say, Sonny, how you doing?
Right.
Usually I'll go to the bathroom, I'll go upstairs, downstairs, outstairs, and last time he said, Keith, you want to talk? I'm like, no, nobody will hear me, bro. You talk. So, you know, so it'll be fun.
Talking to Keith Easterwood here at 92.9 FM ESPN. John Calipari has agreed to a lifetime contract at Kentucky. It's nice to be able to use UCLA to get leverage like that, isn't it?
Yeah, even though they didn't offer enough money. People kept talking, and I read more message board stuff than I post now because I've gotten older. But, you know, knowing Cal, and I don't want to talk to him like I used to, but I talked to Lanita, who left Memphis, and we're with him to Lexington, which is good for me because she gives me free tickets. I didn't think he was going anywhere. I didn't think, you know, the NBA wasn't the deal. He and his family, his wife especially, they like being in Lexington. It's similar to Saban. Saban's wife is the queen of Alabama. Cal's wife is the queen of Kentucky. There's something to be said for that. I talked to Steve Forbes yesterday. I actually called him. As you know, his dad passed, and we kind of talked about losing parents and how do you prepare for that, and, you know, and then his mom's on his own and all that. And really didn't talk a lot of basketball. It was just me and him talking as friends. He always says this, and it comes from Greg Marshall, don't mess up happy. And so I think Cal is in a good place. The summer he took the job, and I know everybody in Memphis was upset. You know, I saw him in Orlando when he was doing a show with ESPN, Andy Katz. And so they'd come off the podium, the stage, and there I stood, you know. And he hugged me. He said, Easy, how you doing? I said, man. And he had a Kentucky blue shirt on. I said, you look like the Kentucky coach. He said, man, I appreciate you saying that. So, no, it doesn't shock me. You know, what bothers me, Gary, is people who are on him now that he's underachieved. If you've ever coached a 10-year-old team and try to get to a championship, a 17 and under team try to get to a championship, a high school team try to win a championship, whatever, it's not easy to do. And so you saw, I mean, Duke was two buckets away from getting eliminated early. And then they got beat the other night by one. I thought he did a good job with this Kentucky team, given what they had. It's tough to play with freshmen. I think you're seeing now, and you know yourself because you do this better than I do, the four teams that are left are senior laden or got teams that got, you know, older guys, if you will, rather than freshmen. It's tough to do what he and Krzyzewski have done. And I thought Duke all along, their lack of depth, which they had a bunch of white guys on the bench who weren't going to play anyway, pardon the expression. But I just thought their lack of depth at some point was going to catch up with them, and ultimately it did.
Talking to Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The problem people have when trying to evaluate John Calipari is that they evaluate him based on what they think he ought to do instead of evaluating relative to what everybody else in his profession actually does. You know, because right. He has one of the most talented rosters in the country every season, people say he should be one of the best teams every season. And he really is one of the coach of one of the best teams every season. But they say he should have more national championships. Well, here's the truth with John. He's been at Kentucky 10 years. He's been to four Final Fours. That's more than anybody else in the country. Nobody else has been to four. Tom Izzo's been to three in that same span. And a bunch of guys have been to two. You know, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski. But what I'm about to say is 100% true. John Calipari, since getting to Kentucky, has been to more Final Fours than anybody in the country, and twice as many. He's been as twice as many as everybody except Tom Izzo. And then they say, yeah, but he's only got one national championship. Okay, that's true. That's true.
How many you got, okay?
Well, here's the thing. Do you know how many people have won more than one since John got to two? Jay Wright and Mike Krzyzewski. That's it. Right. So there's only two guys in the whole country have more national championships in the past 10 years. Nobody has more Final Fours. I just, like John doesn't need me to defend him, but the criticism of him is weird to me. Again, people criticize him based on what they think he ought to do when you should be evaluating him based on what other people in the profession do. And for the past 10 years, you could reasonably argue nobody's been better at his job than John Calipari's been at his job.
Man, look, let me say this so that people, just to be clear, that guy was good to me. I mean, he was, he and his staff and Barbie and Rockford, especially DK, man, they were really, really good to me in a lot of ways. And I could tell you a lot of stuff. I could tell you a story about Smitty right now that I don't want to get into. So Cal was good to me. So I like Cal. So I pulled for Cal. I know Memphis fans are upset. He left, yada, yada, yada. I get all that. And I wish had he been in Memphis and he made the run he's made in the last 10 years, we would be happy as hell. So when I read, as I've gotten older, I just read and kind of look and don't comment. But as I look at what's going on now with him, and I'm glad for him. I mean, he's almost a month older than me. You asked me because it was on my mind, but and I won't bring it up. Sonny and John don't get along, so I won't bring that up tonight.
Right.
Over the Kerry Kittle deal. But, no, I'm glad for him. I think it's good for him. I think it's good for college basketball. I think it's good when Alabama's good in football. I think it's good when Kentucky's good in basketball. So the next big thing now, Gary, we got to get into, and again, I'll get into it with Sonny tonight, is, you know, Zion and his shoe deal. Where's he going in the draft? Where's he going to be in the NBA? And people start beating it up. I think R.J. Barrett took a step back toward the stretch of the season. So, you know, it's a good time. And I'm into this. I'm into all this. This is what I'm into. You got two Under Armour teams and two Nike teams in the Final Four. That's some neat stuff.
Talking to Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. He's on Twitter, @EasterwoodKeith. Do you have an opinion on who's going to win this Final Four? Who's going to win the national championship?
You know what? I don't do brackets and all that. I don't get into all that. I think that I like the way Texas Tech has played. You know, and then people say, well, Virginia can't play like they play. The neatest thing to me is BP and Auburn. And again, these are people that I know, so I'm just, you know, shooting from the hip. But to watch that group play, and they go downhill, they go one-on-one, they almost play like the Houston Rockets. What I'll do Saturday is I'll get some chicken wings, some pizza, whatever I'm getting. I get a drink of my choice, some Amsterdam, whatever. And I'll just enjoy, you know, watching the games. And I'm off Mondays and Tuesdays, so Monday night I'll get to watch the championship game. So it's for me, it's just watching and enjoying the game as opposed to – I don't have no skin in the game. Now, if Memphis was playing, and that's a different deal. And I do think with the Tigers, from Penny and the staff, they're not through as far as getting players to come in. And there's a lot of stuff floating around the air right now about who's going to be whatever. So if Memphis is not in it, then I don't care, and I just watch and I just enjoy the game.
They're talking to Keith Easterwood here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You mentioned Bruce Pearl taking Auburn to the Final Four for the first time.
I like BP, I like Cal. I like Will White. I mean, these are all these people, Gary, and you know them. These are my friends, man, so I pull for them.
Sure. Like, I have enjoyed watching Bruce rebuild Auburn into what he's rebuilt it into. And
that sweaty ass. Yeah, I like you. Let me say this to you. While we're into it, if the lawyer handles this right for Will White, he'll get fired at LSU. I know, and it hurts me to say this. This is my friend. He'll get fired, but he may not get to handle it right. And no proof of money is transferred hands and things of that nature. He could get fired, and this is from Sonny, so I'll pass that on. He could not get a show cause, get fired, sit out a year, and wind up getting another job because he can coach his ass off. That's the best case scenario for Will Wade.
Well, you know, listen, he's caught on a wiretap discussing a pay for play scheme.
No.
Listen, I'm gonna. Hear me out. Everybody is like, there is no doubt in my mind they cheated to get players. All right, you don't talk that way and say the things
he
was saying.
Cheating, Gary John Thompson Sr. I heard him on TV on the radio yesterday. I mean, cheating. I know what you're saying, and I respect you very much. Cheating is relevant to what? So cheating is, you know, you can call cheating because North Carolina did fake classes, or you know, a guy got a basket of money or whatever. I understand he definitely did something he shouldn't have done, and I'll give you that, but go ahead.
Right, but my larger point is the NCAA, there's no evidence. Like, if Javonte Smart and anybody else involved denies everything, and the parents deny everything, and Will denies everything, and the NCAA can't find any evidence of extra benefits, like, just because something happened doesn't mean they'll be able to prove that it happened, even if like you're on a wiretap discussing the possibility of it happening. And so that's the one point I've consistently made, is that I think he probably loses his job no matter what. But the NCAA might not be able to hit him that hard because they're going to have to prove a case, and maybe they just can't prove it.
Yeah, like I say, and I mean, when I come to you about players and about opinions, usually I've asked other people, so it's not just me. So, you know, yesterday, and sometimes I catch Sonny and I get an hour. Sometimes I catch Sonny and I get 10 minutes. So yesterday we talked about, you know, my son and life, and Sonny, and you know him, you know, like I do. And I said, Sonny, what about Will? He said, Keith, if they can't prove that anything transpired as far as money changing hands, he's going to get fired. Sonny's very adamant about that. He's going to get fired, but he gets fired. He's a millionaire. You take a year off. Is it Western Kentucky? Is it whoever? And then somebody rehires him, and he's back in the game. Just kind of like what BP did, but BP had a show cost.
Well, the issue for Will is going to be, okay, like when you're caught by the NCAA doing something, the way BP got caught, you have two options.
Right.
You can admit to it or you can lie. Now, what
right.
we know is that Bruce should have just admitted to it. But he
panicked.
I would have
lied, though. I would have done what he did. I would have lied, okay?
Well, the way that all went down, for people who don't remember, they thought they were there to meet with the NCAA about some impermissible phone calls, extra phone calls, that kind of stuff. They
right.
did not know they were going to be asked about Aaron Kraft and a barbecue. They didn't until
rat ass. Go ahead, I'm with you.
They didn't know until 10 minutes before.
I don't like rats. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't like snitches. They get stitches, okay?
They didn't know until like 10 minutes before they were speaking to the NCAA that this picture even existed. And so they
right.
were in panic mode. The truth is the lawyer who handled the case for Tennessee, like, really did them a disservice, because if the lawyer would have let Bruce and his staff know a week in advance, even 2 days in advance, hey, there's this picture of Aaron Kraft at your house, then they could have got with compliance, got with a lawyer, and said, okay, what do we need to do? And any lawyer would have said, just admit what happened. It's a secondary violation, and it's not that big of a deal. Instead, they had to respond to this picture without any preparation, and they panicked and they lied. And that's what got Bruce in trouble, is that he lied to the NCAA. People like to say he got fired because of a barbecue. That's not true. He got fired because he lied to an NCAA investigator and got caught. But here's the thing. When okay, so let's say that it was something serious at Tennessee. Like, hey, did you pay Javonte? Like, did you pay a player to enroll at Tennessee? At that point, you do have to lie. If you lie to the NCAA, because if you tell the truth, you're getting fired anyway. So you just lie and hope that you don't get caught. Here's the problem for Will. If I were Will Wade and I had to sit down with LSU officials, NCAA officials, I would try to lie. And then, because if you tell the truth, you're fired. If you lie, you might also be fired, but who cares? Either way, you're fired. The problem for Will is, before he talks to the NCAA, he's going to be under oath in federal court. And
yep.
you can't lie there. You lie there, they don't just take your job.
No, he won't do that. That kid's too smart. He won't do that.
Yeah, if you lie there, they won't just take your job. They'll put you in prison. And
right.
when you are a husband and a father, you're not trying to go to prison. And so that's what makes this different for Will. He would have more of a fighting chance if he was just dealing with NCAA issues. But because he's going to be placed under oath in a federal court and asked really complicated questions, he's going to have to either tell the truth, which will get him fired, or plead the fifth, which I think also gets him fired.
Yeah, you know, while you were talking, because you can go elongate, and I'm going to segue into a couple of things, so then we're going to get out here, and I got to do an ad. Jeff Collins is taking his 90-year-old parents to Disneyland, Disney World, whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know the dad went to the hospital, but he'll never know. And I reached out to him. Man, that is how neat is that, to take 90-year-old parents to Disney to see all that you've seen growing up and on TV. And so I put on Twitter today, it warmed my heart. But and again, I texted him. We've talked. And But for him to be doing that for 90-year-old parents, I think one's 95, one's 98. God bless them for being still alive. I mean, Gary, think about that. How neat is that? How neat is that?
It sounds stressful, but I can acknowledge it's also very sweet.
No, it's not.
It's
no,
dangerous,
no.
Keith.
Look, I wish I could take my mom to the grocery store. I mean, I'm just being honest, and I lost her. And me and Forrest talked yesterday, and that's what we really commiserated about was the things you deal with your parents, and now Forrest's dad is gone, and now he's got to worry about because he was the caregiver for his mom, not getting into his personal business. But in my age, so you appreciate little things right now in life. And when I saw that, I'm just being honest with everybody. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care. Man, that was the neatest thing that I've seen in life for somebody to take their 90-year-old parents to Disney. I mean, it made me think, man, I wish I could do that. I appreciated that. It taught me a lot about the character and the heart and the fabric of what Jeff Cochran is all about.
Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. That's a sweet thing for you to say. Hey, do you got a new sponsor, Keith Easterwood?
Yeah, you know what? The Konami family, which I knew, I mean, if you grew up in Memphis, they played football and they're intertwined in the fabric of the community. Dan has done a good job of trying to get somebody to sponsor me, which I really appreciate. He's really done, I think, beyond the call of duty. Old Dominic Distillery is a sponsor for the segment. It means a lot to me that they would even be, look, to be involved with me. Yeah, okay, I'm cool with that. The Canale family is a synonymous name with adult beverages in Memphis. A few years ago, Chris and Alex is the one who's been the lead of being part of what I'm doing, and they revised the family history and opened Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. And so they're about to do a deal on Friday, April 26th, called Spirits and Soul on Trolley Night. And Trolley Night with a twist. So you go downtown, South Main, starts at 6, you enjoy samples. I went to a liquor store today, they give them samples, and I'm looking like, I'm side-eyed. The guy's like, you want some samples? I'm like, no, I might pull a chair and be here all day. I ain't doing all that bullcrap. And so anyway, they're going to be giving samples. There'll be food trucks. Y'all been downtown. You know what it's all about. But it's free to the public and for spirits, sampling means free. And then you can purchase one or two day passes. We go to spiritsandsoul.com. Or you can go to Old Dominic. And, man, to Alex, man, I really appreciate Dan started calling me a week ago, like, hey, I think we got something working. You know, we've got some good stuff going on with the podcast. Again, I've been sick, so I kind of took a couple weeks off. You know, just like with you on Tuesday, something, Brad's good.
Keith, I think it's Old Dominic. Old Dominic.
Well, Old Dominic. Whatever the hell, Brad, shut up.
Sorry.
And so, you know, Brad will text me Tuesday morning, you okay today? Yeah. But now, a few weeks ago, I told him, man, today, you know, but you and Brad have been good to me, Gary. I appreciate it. Like I say, I want to tip my hat to Jeff, and I got Sonny tonight for the podcast. I'm sure they'll get it up within about 24 hours, KeithEasterwood.com. So we're back doing it. I'm going to double back and probably get Forbes again, talk about Final Four and what's going on with that. You know, Vernon was a hit. Gary, you were a hit, so I'm going to double back. Tony Harris is going to do it with me again because there's been some life changes for him since he did the podcast, because now he's doing his own podcast, and people, it's when you talk to people privately, you'd be amazed how many people have reached out to him about the individual that pimped him. They feel like they got pimped also. That ain't my business, so I'm just, you know, I'm going to put that out there. And so there's a lot of good things going on, man. If you get up every day, today is a blessing. Tomorrow's a blessing. I mean, man, we all know people they didn't make today. So I'm glad every day I get up, I wake up, I'm like, I woke up today, I didn't know what day it was. I'm like, oh, God, thank you very much. I got another day. So appreciate you guys. Thank you, Alex Canale. And, man, it's just a lot of good stuff going on. So we got the Final Four coming up. Are you going to the Final Four?
I am going to the Final Four. I'll be here in New York tomorrow, fly to the Final Four on Thursday morning.
Well, next year I need to be like your assistant and go with you.
I could use an assistant right now, I promise you. Right, I'll see you. That's Keith Easterwood.
Thanks,
go check
Keith.
The podcast, KeithEasterwood.com. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts. Love you, Keith.
Yeah.
That's the legend. Keith Easterwood here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Kelvin Sampson reportedly finalizing a deal to remain at Houston, Arkansas. pursuing, perhaps, Eric Musselman. Some good Tiger recruiting news. Bryce Harper's going back to D.C. tonight. We'll get it all.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All that next.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The University of Houston men's basketball coach Kelvin Sampson are closing in on a new contract that could be announced at some point today. The Houston Chronicle reported this morning. That announcement has not come yet, but it is my understanding that they're going to reach a deal for Kelvin Sampson to remain at Houston. And it's been interesting watching this one go down because in advance of Houston's season ending, when the Arkansas job opened, a lot of people, I mean, I had heard this as well, were reporting that, you know, Arkansas is going to prioritize Kelvin Sampson and Houston's going to have to do everything it can do to keep him. And they put a six-year, $18 million contract on the table that'd make him one of the top 25 highest-paid coaches in the sport. And it looks like they might have been bidding against themselves.
Yeah.
Because there's no evidence that Arkansas has pursued Kelvin Sampson at all. In fact, I'm told that they haven't. And so this isn't a deal where Kelvin Sampson is passing on Arkansas. It doesn't appear to be, at least, a deal where Kelvin Sampson is passing on Arkansas to remain at Houston. It looks like he just used the perception, and this is what good agents and smart coaches do, use the perception that Arkansas wants Kelvin Sampson to create a market for Kelvin Sampson and then get Houston to put an $18 million contract on the table. So good for Kelvin and good for his agent, Brett Just, but it looks like Houston got into a bidding war against itself for its basketball coach because I think they could sit here right now without a contract extension and pay increase, and there might not be a place for Kelvin Sampson to go. Again, they scrambled to put this stuff together to try to prevent him to go to Arkansas, but it doesn't look like he was ever actually going to go to Arkansas.
Story number two.
So the Arkansas job is going to be filled by somebody other than Kelvin Sampson, and there are reports right now that suggest it's headed down the direction of Eric Musselman, which I think would be great. I would hire Eric Musselman at Arkansas. There's reports that he's on campus. I'm just, for whatever it's worth, told that's not true, that he is not on campus in Fayetteville. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, I've been lied to before, mm-hmm. and perhaps I'm lied to here. You know, there's a reason I haven't tweeted and said, Eric Musselman, contrary to reports, is not in Fayetteville. Because right. the second you do that,
there's a picture. There'll be
a picture of him, right? At a diner in Fayetteville.
Yeah. So, for
what it's worth, I've been told he is not in Fayetteville. He is in Reno, Nevada, right now. But he is a candidate for the job. I can also tell you that there has been contact between the two sides. And so the question becomes, if Arkansas offers Eric Musselman the job, will Eric Musselman take the Arkansas job? And the answer is yes. I don't want to say without hesitation because I don't think he's just trying to get out of Nevada. Like, he could have probably been involved at Cal if he wanted to just get out of Nevada and get to a Power 5 league, but he didn't want to be involved at Cal. And so he's not in a situation where I've got to get out of here. But the Arkansas job's a top half job in the SEC. They can pay $3 million a year. Nevada just can't go there with a basketball coach. So it's a high-profile league, a historically good job, lots more money, incredible facilities. If Arkansas wants Eric Musselman, I think Arkansas will get Eric Musselman. And I would imagine if that's going to get done, it'll get done in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Story number three.
Interesting recruiting news from Jerry Meyer earlier today, pointing out what I think we've known for at least a little while now, but it's still starting to resonate on the national level. Lester Quinones, who is the 6'5 shooting guard down at IMG Academy in Brayton, in Florida, you know, a top, top 75 player in the country, is now trending toward becoming a University of Memphis commitment. The crystal ball over at 24/7 Sports now has a 67% chance that that Lester Quinones is going to commit to the University of Memphis at some point. And that'd be massive for Penny Hardaway and his staff, not just because it's a guy who brings shooting to a roster that probably going to need shooting, if only because every roster could use shooting. It'll be evidence that they can go out of the Memphis region and go get a top 65, top 75 kid. I think we've assumed that they can, but they haven't done it yet. You know, it's still something on the list of things to do that they have not done yet. Go outside of the region, go get a top 65 kid, and it looks like they're on the verge of doing that. In recruiting, nothing's done until it's done. But again, for what it's worth, the crystal ball prediction out 24/7 Sports has Lester Quinones becoming a University of Memphis Tiger.
Story number four.
And big story in baseball tonight, Bryce Harper is going back to Washington, D.C. to play against the Nationals for the first time since joining the Philadelphia Phillies. And he posted a nice thing on Instagram today, sort of thanking the fans and, you know, talking about all the relationships he made in his years in Washington and, you know, how he'll cherish them forever. And then at the end, he said, "So I know when I run out on that field tonight, I'll probably hear some boos. But I just want you guys to know how much you meant to me," so on and so forth. And I guess he probably will hear some boos because, you know, he's a star athlete who voluntarily left the place that drafted him. And LeBron James being the biggest example, when you do that, you're not often treated well when you return, especially the first time. But I will say there was a great story in the Washington Post last night that broke down exactly what led to Bryce Harper leaving the Nationals. And I don't know how you could read that story, understand the circumstances, and want to boo Bryce Harper if you're a Nationals fan.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to leave.
Right.
The way the story was initially reported at the end of last season was that the Nationals had put a 10-year, $300 million contract on the table for Bryce Harper. And that was technically true. But what we subsequently found out is that roughly $100 million of that money was deferred money, with the last payment coming in 2052. And Bryce Harper made it very clear, "I do not want deferred money. Here's what I want. I want years. I want a no-trade clause. I want no opt-outs. And I want however much money I get, I want it to be all paid within the within the length of the contract. Not now, but like, if I'm going to be playing in 2019, I want money for 2019. I want money for 2020. I don't want to play in 2021 and not get some of that money until 2052. I want the money inside the contract." He wanted no trade clause and no opt-outs. Be important to me. They give him that contract offer at the end of the season, and then he never hears anything. Like, for a while. Fast forward to 2 days before Christmas, the family that runs the Nationals, Tom Lerner, his wife Annette, invite Bryce Harper and his wife to Palm Springs where they live. "Come to the house. Let's figure this out." They go to the house. They have dinner. Bryce makes it clear to them again, "Hey, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get a deal done." Annette Lerner tells her husband, "Get a deal done." He leaves there telling his wife, Bryce Harper does, "Hey, look, prepare to go back to Washington. We're going to get this done." Doesn't hear anything for 2 weeks. Mm. Then he gets a contract offer. It's 12 years, $250 million. Now, do the math on this. The first contract was 10 years, $300. This one's for two more years, but $50 million less dollars, and still has deferred money in it. Some of it deferred all the way to 2072. And so after that, Bryce Harper's like, "Geez, what are they doing?" And so he said that was the moment he realized, "I'm probably not going back to Washington. I told them I wanted no deferred money. They knew that there were these other offers out there for me. And I said, just give me the years. Give me the money inside the length of the contract. Give me what multiple other franchises are saying they're going to give me, and I'll stay with you. You are where I want to be. But they kept giving, they kept lowballing him, all relatively speaking, and putting deferred money in. It's just weird. Now, you can say that the Nationals were smart because this contract's going to backfire on Philadelphia, and perhaps it will, but Philadelphia did come in with a 13-year, $330 million contract with all the money within the contract. Nothing deferred past 2031, which is the last year of the contract. In other words, Bryce Harper didn't want to leave Washington. He told them exactly what it would take to get a deal done. They weren't willing to come anywhere close to it, and another franchise, Philadelphia, was. And so, you know, I guess it's not my place to tell fans how to feel, but I don't know, like, this ain't like LeBron leaving Cleveland for Miami. This is Bryce Harper not getting an offer from the Nationals that made it realistic for him to remain in Washington. They forced his hand. He had to go. And if I were a Nationals fan, I'd stand up and applaud him tonight, because the reason he's not in Washington, it's not his fault. It's the owner's fault. Be back with Jeff Calkins.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. Home of the Gary Parrish Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. A radio.com sports station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.